Yo, what's up, guys and gals? You're listening to Duke on the Right podcast. This is number three, I believe. We got a pretty packed episode for you guys today. We're gonna be talking about that disastrous, comical and scary Democratic debate that happened last night. I don't even know where to freaking begin, to be honest with you. It was so brutally bad. Like I'm not gonna get into it right this minute because I'm giving you a little rundown of what I'm gonna talk about. But it was pretty bad. It's pretty bad. We're also gonna be talking about about the pandering that the left does. You know, a lot of this is going to tie into the debate because a lot of my talking points, if you want to call them that, about the Democrats, it was all on display yesterday. It like and I, as I was watching, I was like they're not even trying to hide it. They just blatantly do it. And the sad part is that people actually believe that these schmucks actually care about them. Mind blowing. Absolutely mind blowing. We're gonna be talking about some more some homelessness, the crisis that's going on you know, the East and the West Coast in New York, LA, San Francisco. The bail reform disaster, which I talked about a little bit last episode, but I wanted to touch up on some things today. Also, the pardons that Trump is doing between what's his name, Blagojevich and Bernie Kerik, and what's going on with Roger Stone, that poor guy. They're basically giving him a death sentence. The guy is in his what, 70s, late 60s. And they wanted to sentence him to almost 10 years. That's a death sentence for a guy his age. The odds of you living out your sentence is slim. Total abuse of power. But whatever. You know, Trump pardoned Bernie Kerik, Rod Blagojevich. I think that's how he pronounces his name. Very thankful. And that just about sums up what I'm going to be talking about today. Oh, and one more thing that I plan on touching up on. So last night I was watching Get Off My Lawn with Gavin McInnes. I think I'm his number one fan. Everything that comes out of his mouth is gold to me. I crack up like I'm watching a comedian. And he was talking about what's her face, Samantha Bee, and about her show and her writers. So I'm not going to touch too much on that topic because, you know, this was Gavin's bit, and I would be pretty upset if he and his lawyers ended up contacting me saying, you know, what do you think you're doing taking my bit? But whatever. I can't help but to expand on these insanely, these mentally ill mutants that are on late night. Not only Samantha Bee, but you got Stephen Colbert, you got Jimmy Kimmel, that other redheaded woman that loves abortion. I'm sorry, I forgot her name, but I'll remember it. I'll look it up or something. But I mean, she's the pinnacle of what women should not be, if you ask me. So, and then the last thing is Pete Buttigieg, booty plug, talking about Christianity, about how no Christian, he doesn't see the alignment between being a Christian and being a Trump supporter. And those are going to be my topics here on Duke of the Right. All right, let's get this ball rolling. So I'd be a fool to not talk about the Democratic debate that happened last night. Watching that was, it was kind of like watching Donald Trump getting elected all over again. And the reason I say that is because they were so bad that if you ask me, it almost 100% secured Donald Trump's reelection. Now, I don't like to say that because I'm the one that's over here saying don't say that he's getting elected and that's it. Don't already assume that's happening, because you have to remember, the Democrats, the leftist progressive sickos, they are so mad. Mad's not the word. They're beside themselves over Trump and that he's president. And what they're going to do, they're going to do everything in their power to stop him from getting reelected. No, by any means necessary. That's what people are not understanding. These people are sick in the head, and they will do whatever it takes to get Trump out of the White House for a second term. So that's why I'm over here saying, listen, Trump is doing phenomenal. Trump is, in my opinion, probably the top three presidents in history of America. The guy has done more for every person in America than any other president since Reagan, even way more than Reagan. And Reagan was one of the best presidents as well. But we don't know what's up the Democrats' sleeve. And I'm not saying it's going to be fair and square. I really don't believe that, because if it is, Trump, you got to be really just completely biased. You got to ignore everything for you to really think that he's not a good president. There's really nothing that Trump has done in the last, almost 4 years that hasn't been great for the country. They say, oh, his rhetoric, oh, what he says. Really? If that is the worst thing about our president, but everything else is unbelievable, as in unemployment for blacks, Latinos, women, this. I mean, record low unemployment. Bail reform. I'm sorry, not bail reform, excuse me. Prison reform. The guy pushed this through while all the presidents before him didn't even bother with it. They didn't even bother with it. Trump is freeing people that were either given a way too long, a sentence that was way too long, whatever the case is. He believes that the justice system really needs a lot of work. And I think most people believe that. These sentences for these non-violent offenses, these non-violent drug offenses, that one woman, of course I forget her name right now, I was thinking about it all last night. She was given a life sentence for a non-violent drug offense. Like, that is sickening. And Trump said, no, that is not happening. He took care of that. I mean, there's so many things that he's doing for this country that is so remarkable and helping us in so many ways that you really can't deny it. And the only thing that these liberals, not even liberals anymore, these leftist progressives say is he's racist. He's xenophobic, homophobic, transphobic, claustrophobic, all these baseless accusations where they can't find. I mean, when you ask them, these supporters, these Trump haters, okay, he's racist. What has he done? What has he said? What has he done that's so racist? I mean, we all know the talking points. Right away, they'll say, he said that all Mexicans were rapists. All you got to do is boom, bring up the actual video of him saying that. That he did not say they're all rapists. He said a lot of the ones that are coming over the wall illegally are criminals. And he's not wrong. Stats don't lie. And he said, not all of them are like that, but a lot of them are. I mean, there's really not much to argue about that. That's what's coming over the border. You forget that 90% of all heroin, fentanyl, all those drugs are coming in from the border. You forget about that? The sex trafficking that is happening at the border? You start to believe that the Democrats don't really care about that. They just care about power. That's why, for instance, Psycho Pelosi wants to lower the voting age to 16 because, the Democrats are obsessed with indoctrinating children at a young age. And naturally, the way it goes, I've heard this before. When you're young, you're a Democrat. And when you get older and wiser, you become a Republican. Because when you're young and dumb, because when you're young, you're dumb. I don't know why anybody would think anything else, because as you get older, you have experience, you experience things. When you're younger, you don't. I mean, it's not an insult to young people, even though we were all young at some point. Such a poor argument. But like, you can't, like, they want the voting age to be 16, to be minimum 16. A lot of kids these days don't even have a job until they're 18. Some of them don't even have a job till they get out of college. So they don't know what taxes are. They don't know the feeling of working a 40-hour work week, getting your check, opening it up, looking at the gross amount, and then looking at all these things, taking $100 here, $50 here, and then you look at your net and it's like, where the hell did all of it go? 16-year-olds don't know what that's like. They don't have the experience to have an opinion on that. But free this and free that sounds really great to a young person. Of course it does. And that's why they want the young voters. Because it's all about power, it's all about manipulation. Another thing, they want to give illegal aliens the right to vote. Because they claimed illegal aliens, just like they claimed black people, just like they claimed gay people and Hispanics. The Democrats, they're still in that slavery mode where they own people. Democrats think they own black people, and unfortunately, they do. They think they own Hispanics. They think they own gays. And now they own illegal aliens because. Oh, wow. Democrats gave us driver's licenses. They gave us this. What they gave us welfare. So we're definitely going to vote for them. And the Democrats tell us that if we don't vote for them, that the Republicans are going to come in, and not only are they going to take away all those things, but they're going to send us back over the wall into our shithole country. Oh, no. You see the mind games that they play? And the manipulation, this is what they've been doing since the slave days in the 1800s. They haven't got out of that. It's just under the guise of caring about you. They really didn't evolve. They just got smarter in the way they did it. Instead of being out in the open saying that, they don't care about you, they just want your vote, they want power, and they want to control you. Instead of just coming out and say it, they go under the, like I said, the guise of, we care about you. We are the party for you, black people. We are going to give you everything. We're going to give you welfare because the Republicans hate you. Republicans want you back in chains. Republicans want to take away your welfare. So we're going to make sure we give you all the welfare you want. Endless supply of welfare, endless supply of food. Endless supply of housing on the middle class taxpayer dollar because they owe you. this is their tactic. And it is so tired. I'm so tired of listening to their pandering, because that's another thing that they do, is they are championship panderers to the max. I mean, that's exactly what I saw in the debate last night, especially from Elizabeth Warren, who, I swear to God, I couldn't stand her last night. I can't stand her to begin with. But last night, and I wrote this on my notes about 10 times, 10 different times, the way that she was raising her hand when she heard something that she didn't like, for some reason, was the most pathetic thing and so annoying. She looked like just, I can't explain what she reminded me of, especially when someone, when one of the people up there said something about Bernie and her being socialist or something like that. And then you see both of these socialist idiots, Warren and Sanders, raise their hand like kids in third grade, shaking it, like almost like jumping up and down. They must have did that like 10 times last night, and Warren probably 20 times. And just the way that she was doing it was getting me so, so annoyed. Like, it was just so childish and so pathetic that I had to write it down in my notes. Every time she did it, I wrote it down in my notes. In a little bit, I'm going to count how many times. And I didn't even, when I was writing these notes, I didn't catch the beginning. So I probably missed about 10 more. It was the funniest thing, but it was annoying. And then the way that she would talk, she is the textbook definition of a Democrat. The emotion, like, she is the queen of this fake, fraudulent emotion. The black people. And then she, like, when she talks, she shakes out of like this fake anger.
We need equality, income inequality.
And then she has that fake, you know, soft-spoken but firm voice, you know, and that really righteous look on her face. Oh, my goodness, that was infuriating. I just wanted to, like, tell her to shut up. So bad. It was so freaking bad. I can't stop thinking about it, actually. I woke up this morning thinking about it. That's how bad. And then when I was watching some videos on YouTube, you know, some recaps of the debate, I kept seeing it. They kept showing videos of her raising her hand and her speaking, and it's just like, this woman won't leave me alone. I can't stop seeing her act like a pathetic loser, a pathetic, pandering, bumbling idiot, you know? Oh, goodness gracious, it was sickening. So, yeah, Elizabeth Warren, she really annoyed me that night, last night. Look, the first thing I have on my notes, the first thing. So when I put it on my Fire Stick, like I said, I was probably about 5-10 minutes late because I put it on my Fire Stick and I was trying to figure it out. The first bullet point that I have is Warren pandering to black people with climate change. Okay, they have gotten so desperate that they are saying that climate change is racist, basically, and affecting black people. That's how low they get. I pray to God that no black people actually fell for that. I pray to God, because if they did, I do not feel bad for them one bit. If you can't see right through that, you deserve to have a freaking communist president. I don't even know what else to say. I don't. Like, that was absurd. So what she was basically saying was the fact that we're not paying attention to the climate, we're hurting black people more than anybody else. I guess maybe because a lot of them are on coastal cities or some bullshit like that. Whatever fake reasoning, whatever pandering reason she had, that just made me sick to my stomach, you know. Oh, okay. And the second bullet point I have, the second one under the whole racist climate change thing. The second one, Bernie and Warren ridiculously and childishly raising hands while Bloomberg was talking about China / India polluting. So this just shows how pissed off I was with what they were doing. They looked like two crazy mental patients that, like, you know, like you see, like, those movies, the tinfoil hat mental patients that are, like, socialist, you know? That's exactly what Bernie and Elizabeth Warren reminded me of last night. Like, there needs to be a guy would be like, all right, shut up, you crazy socialist. Go back into your cave, you know? Like, all right, yeah, we'll give you a few minutes to talk, you crazy maniac. God, yeah, nobody's listening to you anyway. You're a socialist. You lose all credibility when you proudly admit that you're a socialist and you want to bring it to America after what it's done to millions of people in the last 100 years. And that's one of the reasons why I thought Bloomberg did better than what people are saying. Not necessarily on policy or anything like that. The guy's a moron. The guy's a jerk off. He is definitely what we do not want as president, you know. I can't stand him. I hated him when he was a mayor of New York. But I'll tell you what, real quick, off topic, I would rather him as mayor any day over de Blasio. Bloomberg was like, right now, Bloomberg is like Giuliani to me. That's how de Blasio makes him look. Because de Blasio was so, he's so far left, he fell off the left. He fell off the left's cliff. Like, he's just gone. He's not even a leftist anymore. He's a full-blown Marxist, another one that admits it. Marxist, communist, socialist, you know. And, of course, he supports Bernie Sanders, pathetically. You know, anybody who supports Bernie is just, you know, the economics thing is totally out the window, obviously. You know, you do not know economics at all if you support Bernie Sanders in any way. You know, and to be honest, and if I'm offending anybody, oh well, the overwhelming majority of people that I know that actually support Bernie Sanders have no grip on reality. They have some kind of issues, whether it's daddy issues. There's a lot of them like that, whether it's daddy issues or freaking bullied in school, had no friends. And I'm not making fun of people that were bullied or anything like that or have daddy problems. I'm not. But what I'm saying is you're out of touch. You're out of touch with reality. You lack that moral compass. You lack those values to say, no, a socialist. Not too long ago, being a socialist was like a death sentence in America. If someone found out you were a socialist, that was a big problem. Now it's like all the young people are on the bandwagon. Oh, he's a socialist, man. Like, he's going to give us free college, free healthcare, dude. And we could smoke as much weed as we want, bro. Like, that is what's important to you? That is what is important to you. Not the economy, not jobs, not our values as Americans, valuing human life, abortion, you know, none of that stuff, right? But smoking pot, that's value. And then when it comes to the free college, hey, guess what? College is bullshit. Unless you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, if you're going to college, if you want to be a businessman, entrepreneur, and you go to college and you spend a ton of money on college, you're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot, especially if you want to be an entrepreneur, business owner. You're wasting your time 1,000%. And anybody, you know, any successful businessman will tell you the exact same thing. Being a doctor, a lawyer, like I said, an engineer, of course you need school. Of course you do. I mean, there's just things you need to go there with. But school was not meant for everybody, number one. It wasn't meant for me. I went to school for 2.5 years. I went to community college. I did pretty well, too. But I always hated school. School was never for me. I always knew that I wanted to run my own shit. I didn't want to work for anybody. It's not in my nature. So after a little over 2 years, I dropped out. I knew it wasn't for me. So now, okay, you know, listen, my prediction is not too far down the road, people are really going to start realizing, well, like, college is really not what it's all cracked up to be. It's really not worth $60,000 a year or a semester, whatever. It's really not. Like, you know, I personally know plenty of people that got degrees at Montclair State University, NYU, this and that, and they're working as you know, at grocery stores or this or nothing, that, places where I could get a job and I have zero degree. Whether that means that they're just not a go-getter and they're wasting their time, or they genuinely can't get a job. This is the issue. It's a waste. If you're not going to be a doctor or a lawyer, don't go. Don't waste your money. I promise you, it's not worth it. If you want to be in sales, college isn't for you. College does not teach you how to sell. College does not teach you personable skills, communication skills. Experience does. Experience, getting into the field, taking your lumps, getting beat up a little bit, watching experts do it. That's what teaches you. College, university, teaches you how to work for somebody. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, majority of people in this country work for somebody else and make a very good living. But there are certain people in this country that's not cut out for them, like me. I need to be my own boss. I need to run things. Maybe it's a control thing. I don't know. But that's just who I am. And luckily for me, I went to community college. So the 2.5 years that I did go, I didn't really build up much of a debt. You know? So, rant. I just freaking ranted and I think I forgot where I was. I apologize. I've been kind of all over the place today. It's just there's so many things that I want to touch upon, you know, because I mean, these Democrats, they give me so much ammunition. It's like almost too easy. It's almost too easy to abuse them because they like ask for it. The things that they do is just, it's really funny. But it's the reason why it's not that funny is because we're really in a position where our American freedom is really on the line. And that sounds kind of extreme, but America has never had this type of opposition within its own country before. We've never had proud socialists not only running for the presidency, but having a big following. Like, that's scary. That's not normal, people. That's not normal. We've never seen that before. And that's why this is a very, I would definitely go as far saying this election is one of the most crucial, important elections in the history of this country. And I say that with confidence because, like I said, we're talking about the fate of our freedom, of America. These people truly want to take away our freedom to benefit, what, illegal aliens? And to give them power? Because once again, and this is common knowledge, they're obsessed with power. They're power-hungry people. They're a power-hungry party. And they'll do whatever it takes to get that power. If that means pandering to the extreme, you know, they'll do it. By all means necessary. That's Antifa's slogan. And that's the Democratic Party slogan, because Antifa is just the military wing of the Democratic Party they've become. But they don't get arrested. See, I'm jumping all over the place because I could go on about Antifa for days. They're a different story, you know, and I have my own theories of who they are and why they are who they are and like why they were created, who created them, you know, and I think I'm pretty on point with those theories, but it's not worth it to talk about right now. It's just not, you know. All right. So, the debates. So, what I gathered I just made the wrong freaking turn. Come on. Sorry, peeps. I'm in the city. I'm in Queens right now, and I just made the wrong freaking turn, and my GPS isn't updating. Ay, ay, ay. That's it, right? Oh, it's not that bad. Okay, I think we're back on track for the most part. I swear, man. This city is so terrible. With all the money they have, the roads are horrific. The traffic is horrific. But yet, they keep voting the same type of people in. I'm beginning to sound like a broken record, and this is only my third episode. Any listeners that I even have, which I don't even know if there's any yet, I'm going to lose them because they're going to say that I repeat myself too much or that I ramble on about these things. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, like, I mean, this is my reality right now. And it has been that I personally experienced these ridiculous third world country-like conditions in the city. And it's all created by the left, by the Democrats that have been running the city for years. They haven't been doing the right thing by any means. They just do what they have to do to get the votes from minorities. At the end of the day, if you are running for any elected office in New York City, all you have to do is pander to minorities and tell them that you're going to give them free shit. And you'll get the votes from the minorities and from the rich white liberals who want to have the bragging rights to say that they voted for somebody progressive. They want to get brownie points from black people and from Hispanics and Muslims and this and that. You know, like, it's all very disingenuous to me. And that's why I get so annoyed. But, like, how about you look at what the Democrats have actually done for all these black people in the projects and in these disgustingly horrible neighborhoods that they have to live in? You know? This is an interesting fact that everybody knows, but a lot of people decide to ignore it. In the last 50 years, New York City went through about a little over 16 years of peace, of good quality, of much better quality living. Other than that, it's been horrible. And the only reason why those 16 years were good is you have Giuliani for 8 years, right? Giuliani turned it around like nobody has ever seen before. New York City in the 70s and 80s was one of the worst cities in America to live in. The crime rate, I think it was, what, over 2,000 murders a year. You really couldn't walk anywhere alone at dark unless you were in a... unfortunately, a decent neighborhood, you know, which happens to be white. Don't criticize me. Don't crucify me. These are facts. These are facts. Because I know that I would get into hot water because of what I said, but it's just a fact. It's not something I'm making up. I'm not a racist person by any means. It's fact. It's on paper. It's everywhere you go. You can find that stat. Okay? But not only minority neighborhoods. I mean, Times Square, which really isn't a resident. It's not a residential neighborhood. But back in the day, in the 70s and 80s, and even the early 90s, you're not gonna walk around there after 11 o'clock and 10 o'clock at night. Even earlier than that, you're crazy. Because you were gonna get either robbed. You couldn't take your family there because you couldn't take your family at any time of the day because it was, you know, strip clubs and porn theaters and hookers on the street. It was disgusting. I wasn't alive for it yet, but I've watched plenty of things. My parents grew up in Brooklyn. So my parents grew up in Brooklyn. They told me what it was like. You know, and I did a lot of reading and research on it. It was a terrible place. It was nothing like what it is now. And what it is now is, you know, it's getting shitty again. I could see it happening. But growing up, I was lucky because that was in the time of Giuliani and Bloomberg. But, you know, Bloomberg was smart because he didn't touch Giuliani's policies. He knew that they worked, right? Bloomberg knew that Giuliani's policies worked like a charm, and he knew not to mess with it. And that's why the city stayed so good even after Giuliani left. Now, Bloomberg was mayor for, I think, 12 years. He, you know, they changed the law for him because he's a rich freaking idiot. And I think in the remaining few years, that's when his true colors came out, when you could see the socialism in him, banning this, banning that, you know, taking away all the streets for freaking pedestrians and bikers, which is so infuriating. I think it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. It slows down traffic. Like, you know, forget about people that got to drive to get to work every day. You know, you can't drive through Times Square anymore. You know, you barely can. There's one little freaking street. They shut down all these roads for pedestrians. Stupid, stupid, stupid policy, stupid creation that just made the traffic in New York City worse. Shocker. And then de Blasio comes in. They actually vote this idiot in. And I truly believe, without a doubt, de Blasio was voted in because he has an interracial family, biracial kids. And, you know, normal people would say, well, so what? Okay, he has biracial kids. What are his policies like? What if he is a freaking communist? What if he is a murderer? What if he's going to be a terrible mayor? But these people don't care. They don't care what his policy is. All they care about is changing the fabric of America. Like we really give a shit if his kids are black, half black. I don't care if they're blue, purple, and orange. If he's a good mayor, then perfect. And if he's a bad mayor, or, you know, gonna be a bad mayor, then no, it doesn't matter what his kids are like. It doesn't matter what he's like. This whole identity politics thing is destroying America. It's the worst type of campaigning, the worst version of politics there is. And go figure, it comes from the party that preaches about equality, that calls everybody else racist. Once again, the gaslighting thing, telling, accusing the opposition of doing something that they are actually doing to take the attention off of them. That's what the Democrats do, because they're the racist ones. They're the racist ones, but they accuse the Republicans of being racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, transphobic, all these made-up terms, because the Democrats are really the ones that are like that. But, they're Marxist, communist, socialist tactics are to, gaslight. That's a known thing. That's what they do. So that's the story with that. It's sickening. It's sickening. And all they did last night on the debates was pander to black and brown people, women, everybody but white people, everybody but Christians. I don't know if anybody caught that. Either talk about everybody, all races, all religions, or don't specifically talk about anyone. Because that's not right. I mean, everybody's equal in this country now. And it's been like that for years, for decades. We worked very, very hard as a nation to fix that, and we did. But they insist on saying that America is still a very racist country. That there's systematic racism against black people still, which is just not the case. And everybody with half a brain knows it. But it plays into their narrative perfectly. When they don't know what to say, when they're losing, like what Elizabeth Warren was doing last night, when they know that their balls are against the wall, they bring up race. They bring up how, black and brown people are oppressed. The climate is racist. It's sick, man. How do these people sleep at night? It's crazy. Says in my notes that butt plug was pandering to minorities about jobs, about how, the wages affect black people the most, about certain jobs are not inclusive for black people, more lies. Once again, Elizabeth Warren was the star of pandering to black and brown people last night, in my opinion. I mean, they all were, but mainly Elizabeth Warren, because, like I said, her balls are against the wall. She's probably not going to make it if I was a betting man. She was saying that there is a gap between white and black entrepreneurs. Which, okay, fine, maybe that's true. I mean, obviously, there's going to be more white entrepreneurs than black because blacks make up 13% of the population. But let's just say that even percentage-wise, it's not true. I mean, even percentage-wise, there's an inequality between white and black entrepreneurs. That's something that the black community got to take up with themselves. There's no oppression. There's no systematic oppression stopping black people from being entrepreneurs. How could you be so ignorant? Shit. I mean, really. She literally says that she's making the case for, you know, America being a racist country, you know, having a lot of racial inequalities, you know, in the financial world. There's no laws on the books that stop black people from being entrepreneurs. There's no laws on the books, or there's no policies in banks that stop black people from getting loans. It's a very cut and dry system with the banks. If your credit sucks, if you owe money, you're not getting a loan because the bank has to determine if it's a too big of a risk to give you 50 grand. That's the way banks work. And if they worked any other way, they would all go broke. So no, they don't just give away fucking loans. And they're not going to give away loans easier to black people because Elizabeth Warren said so. Then the banks will really go out of fucking business. And that fucks everybody up. Like, that's what I want to know. I want to know what her solution to that is. You know, if she's making the case that, which a lot of people do, that banks are prejudiced against black people. Banks don't give loans to black people as nearly as much compared to white people because of their color. Okay, so we all know that's not true. We all know that banks have a certain set of requirements for you to get a loan, regardless of your skin color. It doesn't matter. All that matters is what's on paper. Like I said, if you owe a lot of money, if you're in a ton of debt, if your credit score is fucking 400, and if you don't have a good business plan on top of it, you're not getting a loan. Period. I wouldn't get a loan. I'm white. I mean, I'm Italian, but that's just another poor excuse. That's just another way for people to play the victim card. There's no systematic oppression towards black people, towards minorities in this country, period. Not anymore. And it hasn't been like that for a very long time. And we're thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. That's a terrible, terrible thing. For any kind of discrimination against anybody, especially for something that you can't help that you're born with. You're born a certain skin color. You should not be discriminated against. I mean, I would make the argument that 95% of people in this country, maybe even more, agree that that's really fucked up. I'm sorry, I got my one curse out of the way for today. You know, that's wrong. That's a moral thing. You don't do things like that. And we're way past that. But for some reason, the Democrats still talk about it like it's still happening. Crazy. Crazy. And people fall for it. That's the sickening part about it. People fall for it. And they cling to it. And these gullible people, they go along with it. And then they use that as just a form of an excuse. Oh, yeah, I'm broke because this systematic racism in America. And I can't get ahead because of racism. The fuck are you talking about? That's curse number two. Sorry. Now I can't curse at all next episode. For you guys that didn't know, I'm trying to limit myself one curse word. One fuck. That didn't count. But one F word per episode. Because I listened, I think it was to my first episode. And how many times I said the F word was pathetic. It was terrible. It made me sound like an idiot. So I kind of made a promise with myself that I'm going to try my absolute best to not curse. To not at least say the F word on this podcast, I'll give myself one F word per episode. And if I go over that, let's say I curse three times, that means the next two episodes I can't curse at all. I can't say the F word at all. These are ways for me to try to clean up my language, because I'm not necessarily the most articulate speaker in the world, you know. I'm not very careful with my words, you know. I'm not stupid. I'm not illiterate, but sometimes it could probably sound like that with the way I talk. You know, I talk harshly. It's my upbringing, you know. It's just the way we talk. It's where we get our point across. I'm not some soft-spoken soy boy. This isn't an ASMR video. This is an angry 25-year-old conservative who's pissed off at the liberals in this country that are trying to turn us into weenies. I don't like that. So we're going to go into a little bit of a speed round right now. We're going to give this method a shot because I'm so all over the place. All right, so over the break, you know, I looked at all my notes. So while I was watching the debate last night, I made bullet points of things that I felt like it was worth talking about today. You know, little points. For instance, like Klobuchar was talking about the universal child care, or Elizabeth Warren talking about the two cent wealth tax, whatever she called it. You know, things like that. So what I did over this break just now is I circled the bullet points that I felt made the most impact, were the most standout moments of the show. I called it a show. It's not a debate. It was a comedy show. All right. So these were things that one of the candidates said that stuck out in my mind that were either pathetic or a lie or just funny. So the first one, Bernie Sanders. I almost said Bernie Williams. Yeah. Bernie Sanders said billionaires shouldn't exist. It's immoral to be a billionaire. This I've heard from a lot of people, especially a lot of millennials, a lot of Bernie fans, you know, a lot of socialists, which is probably one of the most socialist communist things anyone could ever say. I get the premise in a very, very, very simple thought, like a simple thinking skill. Like what these people are, they're simpletons. You know, they don't think deeply into anything. They don't think about repercussions. If it sounds good, they like it. Of course, but oh my God, billion. What are you going to do with $1 billion? Like, come on. Like, what? You don't need that money. Everybody thinks like that real quick, right? Of course. Even I say it sometimes. $1 billion. Like, I think of Bloomberg. What the hell is he doing with billions of dollars? You know, like, you don't need that. But I would never, ever, ever, ever make the case of saying, no, legitimately, he should not have that billions of dollars. He should give all that away. He should not have the right to have all that money. I think that's the most absurd thing you could ever say. I mean, besides the fact that that's pure communism right there, we live in a capitalist free, like a free market society where people, there's no other place in the world where you could come from nothing and create something possibly big, possibly groundbreaking, possibly huge. You're not going to be able to do that in any other country. That's not happening. That's what's so beautiful about America. That's what I don't get. Like, that's what these people don't understand. But it all makes sense because they hate the way of the Americans' way of life so much that this is normal to them. They don't realize what it will do to a country if you start really discouraging people to be successful. Because that's exactly what it's doing. It's discouraging people from being successful. Why the hell am I going to work so hard to make this company great if I can't even, if I cap out at a certain amount? I think that's bullshit. Like, who are they to tell the American people, you can only make this amount of money? Or if you're projected to make over this amount, you have no right to keep that money. That money has to be redistributed to people less fortunate than you. The only person that should be making that decision is you, the person who earns that money, the person who works very hard to make that money. And if that person wants to give all of his money away to charity or to whatnot, that's great. And that's great because that's his decision. He made that money, and he's the only one that should be controlling that money where it goes. And the fact that there are people like AOC who I can't even believe that she is any kind of position of power. I think that that is the perfect example of the modern day left. She is, I mean, I don't hate anybody. I'm not someone who really hates people. I'm very close to hating her. I'm very close. And that whole squad, the squad, I could probably say that I actually hate. And I'm a real Catholic, not like, you know, Pelosi, who claims to be a real Catholic. Meanwhile, you know, does the most anti-Christian things ever, you know? So, anyway, that's a terrible, terrible point to make. To say that there should be no billionaires in this country. As much as I can't stand Bloomberg and thinks he's a jackass, I think he's also a communist as well. He has every right to that money. And nobody should tell him that he should not be worth that much money or have that much money. Period. This isn't fucking Russia. There I go again with the curses. I'm sorry. This isn't Russia. This isn't China. This isn't 95% of any other country in the world. This is America. That's what makes us so great. We are in control of our own destiny. If we happen to make a product that just, you know, hits the right spot in the economy, hits the right, you know, people, that just takes off, revolutionizes whatever it is, you know, a certain industry that really was in desperate need of something new, but nobody was coming out, and you did it. And you make millions and millions of dollars. You work very hard. Think about this scenario. You're this person. You come from nothing somehow. You know, you invent something. You know, let's say you get money from your mom and dad to help you out, a few $1,000 to fund the actual project. You market yourself. You get it out there. You know it works well. You target, you know, a certain market that is in desperate need of something like that, but has never been made before. All of a sudden, within a few months, it catches on like wildfire. It spreads. Before you know it, you go from, you know, working in a grocery store making minimum wage to making millions and millions of dollars overnight from an invention that you created. Your blood, sweat, and tears, your brain, you created this. And let's say you made $500 million. And the government steps in and says, whoa, 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 whoa. You made $500 million. You got to give half of that to us. You're not entitled to that. that money has to go somewhere else to people less fortunate than you, and you don't have a say in the matter. Any normal person with half a brain would say, what? Get the hell out of my pocket. That is none of your business. I made this money fair and square. I worked hard for it. Who are you to take my money? If I want to put my money in charity, I'm going to do it, not you. It's insane that these people think like this. And this is what I mean by, like, a messed up society, a messed up way that this country is going. It's getting hairy. The fact that he said that, when I heard that, I was taken back. I mean, it wasn't the first time I heard something like that, but just to see those stupid words come out of somebody's mouth made me laugh. And the funny part is, there's a lot of people that agree, like, oh yeah, you know, he's right. Like, nobody should be a billionaire. It's immoral. Yeah, with a simple brain that doesn't have any, you know, thinking skills besides, you know, at the top of your head, what something sounds like instead of what it actually means and the effects that it will bring, the detrimental effects that something like that would bring to a country like America. Yikes. Let's see. Butt plug. Oh, here's another thing that really took me back. And I'm not going to really expand on this, but here's, you know, give you a little perspective of where his head's at. He said the number one place for Americans to live is Denmark. What does that even mean? What's the point of that? Taking a page out of Bernie Sanders' socialist handbook, that's all he's doing. Meanwhile, people fail to realize that Denmark is a homogenous country about, what, a 16th of the size of America population-wise? And besides, they made it very clear to America and to Bernie Sanders that they said, we're not a socialist country. We are a free market capitalist country, but they happen to have certain social programs in place and they could work decent because they are such a small, homogenous country. And there's still problems in those little, in those areas. But it could work, and it does work there because it's a small country and they are capitalists. They have a free market, something that Bernie Sanders does not like. He thinks that capitalism is evil. Meanwhile, it's brought, you know, more people out of poverty than any other political system in the history of the world, while socialism and communism has killed more people in the last 100 years. I mean, they killed, like, what was it, over 100 million people in 100 years? Come on.
Oh, but it's democratic socialism.
It's the same shit. It's the same shit. The only difference is you're electing the person that's gonna oppress you. That's all. Same shit. Bernie Sanders would destroy America in a matter of a month. The economy would tank because all confidence in the stock market, people investing, they would say, we're done. And guess what? They would all pull out in a heartbeat, and the economy, the market would be, I guarantee, would crash worse than the Great Depression in the 30s. I mean, think about it. The guy is anti-capitalist. Anti-capitalist, anti-free market, making your own money. So that means everybody invested in the stock market's gonna be like, oh hell no, I'm not dealing with this. I better take my money now before shit happens. And everybody's gonna think like that, and they're all gonna take their money right out. And the market is gonna crumble. And I'll tell you what, a catastrophic event like that might not recover. And that's not scare tactics. That's just common sense. Think about that for a second, people. Let's see. What else do I got here? Oh, one of my favorite parts. One of my favorite parts about the debate came from Bloomberg. Believe it or not. Now, for some reason, Bloomberg doesn't consider him a socialist, consider himself a socialist. I believe he is. I don't believe that he's a real 100% full-on socialist, but I believe that he is obsessed with power, which is a socialist thing. Wants, you know, more regulation, like what he did to New York. Wants to rule over people. Banning the sodas always sticks out in my head. Something small, people are like, oh, it's just sodas, it's better off. No, no, that's a slippery slope. You ban sodas today, you ban French fries tomorrow because it's unhealthy. You raise the prices on cigarettes 1,000%. Not because the government cares about your health, but because they know that people are going to still buy the cigarettes, but the government's just going to make more money off of it. Don't be fooled, people. The government does not care about you. Bloomberg banning the big gulps was not because he truly cares about your well-being. It's a control thing. That's all it is. It's a mental thing. But Bloomberg made the comment saying, what a wonderful country America is. The most well-known socialist here is a millionaire with 3 homes. What did I miss? That was a dinger to me. Because the way he said it was so like, give me a break. You claim you're a socialist, yet you got millions of dollars, you got 3 homes. What are you doing? Who are you fooling? I thought that was pretty cool, you know? And then Bernie was like, what do you mean? The first home is in D.C. The second home is in Birmingham. And the third home is a camp. I'm sorry, kill me. You know, like, you know, trying to explain his way out of it. But, you know, I guess he forgot to add that Clinton bought him a freaking home, you know, so we could shut up about, you know, getting bought out from the election in 16. But we'll all keep our mouth shut about that, you know. But I thought that was pretty good. And Bloomberg last night took a pretty strong stance on against socialism, which once again, I still believe he's a socialist, but I think he's at least smart enough to know that anybody running on a socialist ticket on a socialist platform is going to lose because America is vehemently, is strongly, overwhelmingly against any kind of socialism. The only ones that are for it are the dumb college students that just want free shit and they don't know what the real repercussions are resulting from socialism. They don't know, or they don't care, or they say, no, they think different. Or, you know, they just, my favorite thing that they say is it just hasn't been used the right way. It's been used dozens of times and it's failed every single time. Once again, Denmark is not socialist. Period. Even their president or whatever you want to call him, he even denies that. And Bloomberg also said, we tried socialism here. It doesn't work. And then he mentioned communism, called Bernie a communist. He said, it doesn't work here. Socialism, communist, we tried it. It don't work. It's been proven time and time again. And he was right. So, I thought those few dingers were pretty cool. And, you know, unfortunately, Bernie, you know, I don't think it really fazed him much. I think at the moment it might have shook him up a little bit, but, you know. It's not like Bernie hasn't heard all these things before. He's a self-proclaimed socialist and has been for, like, what, the last half a century? He's probably heard it all. But he doesn't care because that's what he believes in. He's so stupid. He's ignorant when it comes to economics. He has a very elementary way of thinking, you know. And another thing I have here is Elizabeth Warren, once again, pandering to black and brown people, you know, randomly saying that she's going to, you know, put more money into historic black colleges, which I'm not criticizing her on wanting to do that. Like, I'm pretty sure Trump did that. Like, that's cool. That's great. That's great. You know? But it's just the malicious intent and the reasoning why she says it. It's because she is trying so hard to gain that black and brown vote that, like I said earlier, and like I keep saying, you know, Larry the Broken Record, that, you know, the pandering is just at an all-time high, especially for her. I felt like every other word out of her mouth was black and brown people while she was shaking. You know, that stupid angry shake that she had going on. God, so pathetic. Let's see. There's like four more bullet points that say Warren keeps raising her effing hand. I think it was like 15 times from what I saw. Oh, this was a funny one. Butt plug over there. In the eighth grade, wrote an essay in school praising Bernie Sanders. I don't really have much to say about that other than that whole claim that he's a centrist, that butt plug's a moderate, is such a crock of shit. It's such a lie. He's not a moderate. Not even close. Nothing about him is moderate but his tone of voice. He is a socialist just like Bernie. He's a liar just like the rest of them. Okay, and he praised Bernie. So now we know that he's a socialist. If you didn't have all the evidence yet, now you do. Okay? I got not much to say about that. It's not much of a surprise to me. Only funny. Comical. Okay, this one hit me like a ton of bricks. This is where I started to get mad. I don't think I've ever heard this before, and I'm still really shaken up by it. I'm triggered, quote unquote. Butt plug was pressing Klobuchar about a number of things, about the way she voted, you know, how she was on the immigration committee and voted for a lot of Trump's proposals, putting kids in cages, which wasn't Trump's ultimate plan, it was Obama's. They didn't say that, but that's the truth. And in his little tirade, he said in a derogatory way, you voted for English as the main language. I paraphrase, but you voted for English as the national language. How is that a bad thing? I've never heard that before in my life, that is a bad thing. English is our national language, and it should stay that. This isn't the United States of America and Mexico. This is the United States of America. Our national language has been English, and it will always be English. How is that used as something to... How is that going to hurt somebody? And the sad part is that these crazy psycho progressives actually think that's a terrible thing that she did. That she agreed that English should be America's national language. I'm pretty sure there are 100,000 times more people speaking English than Spanish in this effing country. Like, that was a real... shocker. And if it wasn't an eye-opener for a lot of people, then you're dead. You're done. And then, of course, at the end of his little tirade, he started speaking Spanish. And that's where you lose me. That's it. It doesn't get more pandered. It doesn't, you know, that's the epitome of pandering to a select group. Like, I want to know. I want to see the faces of the people that believe that. I want to see what an idiot looks like. Oh my God. He's so progressive. He's talking to them in Spanish. Like, what a good guy. Like, he cares about us. Like, oh my God. Like, you're an idiot. What is wrong with you? If you can't see through that, you got a mental blockage. There's something seriously damaged in your brain. That's not that like when Cory Booker did that, I laughed so hard. I felt like I was gonna throw up from laughing so hard. Like, I remember he was like, basically, well, I could speak Spanish too. But I'm trying to think who did it first. I don't know if it was Butt Plug or, oh my God, there was a bunch of it's the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, Beto, and look where he's at. He's back skateboarding. He's skateboarding, you know, down the street with his long skateboard hair, dude. Freaking loser. Oh my goodness. And you know, Klobuchar and Butt Plug were battling it out. Klobuchar got insulted, saying, "Are you calling me dumb or a liar?" You know. And after Butt Plug's tirade, Klobuchar looked so shook, so shaken up, like she was like mad. You know when you get really mad and you start like shaking, like that's how she looked. Like she just looked frazzled. She looked defeated, and it was funny. You know, because she was put on blast. But the thing is, like some of the things that she was put on blast for, like they didn't sound so bad. They didn't sound great, but there was some things like, all right, are you trying to insult her with that one? Like, that's not really an insult. I don't understand that. But unfortunately, in the realm of the leftists, bad is good, normal is abnormal. This is what they want, and they're getting it. You go to New York City, or, I mean, it's already happening. The counterculture is taking over. You go to New York City, you go to San Francisco, it's already started. This counterculture, this what's normal is abnormal whole thing, it's happening. It's happening. What's weird is not like it's really a sick thing. And that's why I say if Hillary would have been president, like, you know, it would be the end of a nation. And Trump bought us a lot of time to really set the record straight. And I'm sorry, but even if like a Republican did win, but it wasn't Trump, I think we would still be screwed, because in these times you need a strong-willed tough guy like Trump. If like Jeb Bush won, it would be just as bad as if Hillary won. Because he has no backbone, just like his brother and his father. Any of them. I think maybe Ted Cruz would have been the best one. I mean, I love Ben Carson, but I don't think he's good for a time like now. I think he would be phenomenal in good times to keep it good. He wouldn't be good for a time where it's bad and he has to fight to make us good again. That's a guy like Trump. That's what you need. You need an asshole. Trump is an asshole. But he's a good asshole. He sets the record straight. He puts them on blast. He's not afraid to say anything. All these other Republicans, they're all, if you ask me, bro, they're all a part of the establishment one way or the other. Especially Bush. Maybe not Carson, because he's not even a politician. Rubio, he was all right, but I don't know, something about him I didn't like. I like Cruz. I do like Cruz. And I think that he's not a part of that establishment. But the rest of them were. Christie sucks. He's a fat idiot from Jersey, you know? Trump, I hate to bring God into this because, you know, whatever. I'm a believer in God no matter what, in Jesus. But God put Trump in the White House. And I always say this to people that say, how could you elect him? How could he be president? He's so nasty. He's so cruel and rude and this and that. I said, listen, he wasn't running for sainthood. He's not running to be the Pope. He's running to be the President of the United States in a time that is very, very bad. Very backwards. Our society is in turmoil right now. And we needed a guy like Trump to save it and to build the following. Do you realize how much time he bought the Conservative Party to take America back? He built an empire of supporters that are so patriotic and American loving. You don't remember anything like that before Trump was in office. I mean, there were conservatives, but there was not like a real solid squad of conservatives. I mean, what we have now, they're not just Trump fans. These are patriots that take it very seriously, like myself. And if Trump wasn't president, if he didn't become president, that would be gone and we would be dead. But because Trump has that power, that way of bringing people together, which people will argue, but he does, you know, he did that. And look what he did. Look what he created. He created a force to challenge the ugly, disgusting people that want to tear down our country, morals, and values. And if they want to do that, they're going to have to go through us. And it's not going to be pretty. They're going to lose, and it's going to be bad. All right. I got dry mouth from talking so much. So that's my recap of the debate last night. I'm debating on maybe tomorrow having a little segment where I play the audio clips of, you know, the audio of a bunch of clips that I liked from last night or that I hated, you know, and then talking about them quick. I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to do that yet, so don't bank on me for doing that, but it was a thought. I got to learn how to do that, you know. Unfortunately, I'm not privy to this podcast thing, you know, exactly what to do. I learned a lot. You know, I'm doing it through Anchor, and Anchor's phenomenal, you know. But I got a lot to learn. And as long as whoever's listening, hopefully I start building a fan base. You won't regret it. You know, I'm very passionate about my feelings, and I'm a 25-year-old guy. You know, I know that there are people that can relate with me. In a world where millennials are, you know, mostly liberal. I mean, a conservative millennial like me, you know, I'm a minority. I'm a minority when it comes to being a conservative at my age. So, you know, it's interesting, but I'll tell you what, I've been thrown in Facebook jail. I think it was 4 or 5 times. Right now I'm doing a 30-day bid in Facebook jail. I think I got 21 days left. And the next one, I don't know if it's another 30 days or banned for life. I'm not sure. But the reason why I bring that up is our values, our thoughts, our free speech is on the line. And that's why it's so important to get Donald Trump reelected. It's so detrimental. It's so important to get him back in there, because the problems that America will have if one of these liberals, these leftists come in, I feel like it would take a miracle to fix this country. Because they don't just want to change it. They want to upend it. They want to turn it upside down and create their own terrible, disgusting, satanic, backwards culture. They're desperate to do it because they were losers and outcasts when they were younger. I know that's a cruel thing to say, but think about it for a second. I don't even know how long this podcast was, but I think I'm going to end it off with that. Tomorrow, if I don't do that video clip thing, I might just end up showing a few. I'm not going to make it the whole segment. But anyway, what I'm going to talk about tomorrow is going to be the destruction of America's social norms. It's called denorming. Denorming America. That is what they want to do. And that's going to be we're going to dig deep into that. You know, I think everybody's going to be in for a shock of really what they're doing and what their plan really is and how terrible it is. And plus, we got a few other things for you guys, but that's going to be our main discussion for tomorrow. Going to dive into that nice. And yeah, that's it for Duke of the Right. I hope you guys have a good night, and I'll see you tomorrow.